This is just what this office needs.
Yeah, yeah, someone who wants to work.
Hey,
Tony. Excuse me. Who is this strange woman rifling through my files?
This is Fiona.
Huh, Fiona?
She is a great worker. Could be a real asset to the office.
Three, you don't just pull someone off the street and put them to work. I have to check her qualifications. I have to verify her references. Screening a prospective employee is a complex and grueling procedure.
How do you do? I am Angela Bauer.
How nice to meet you, Mrs. Bauer. I hope you don't mind my saying this, but you seem awfully young to own your own agency.
When can you start?
Hi. Oh, there's a little bit of music there.
It got me. I was like, what is that?
Welcome back to
AO OA.
The Who's the Boss podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. Even the ones we don't want.
I know.
You know, this episode wasn't as bad
As I was expecting it to be. Okay.
Okay.
But like when you would think it was a bad episode, are you reflecting back to as a kid, you remember it being bad?
I just remember it.
Or not enjoying it as much.
I just remember not enjoying it as much.
Okay.
But it's also because it dealt more with other characters than the actual like family unit besides Angela and Mona. Although an episode like The Heiress, which was mostly Angela and Mona, I really like. So
I see.
I think it's probably the focus on the guest star, with the guest star.
It only gets worse from here. I mean, like this.
Right. So then,
the next couple.
Right. Because the next episode is Mona, which is a spinoff.
And we started watching the beginning of that, and I.
Yeah, we're gonna struggle.
I got scared, and I wanted to turn it off.
It's just hard
when
it's not.
I didn't understand what was happening.
Like, it's basically doing a podcast for a completely different show for one episode.
Right, right.
Yes, but then we get the moving episode, the season finale, and that is a very cute one. So that's our. Just keep your eye on the prize, and then we're done with season three, and we've done three seasons.
Wow.
People said we wouldn't make it past the first four episodes of this podcast.
People?
No one, but I'm sure people thought that.
There are people out
and
there.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Three seasons later. Okay, so today we're going to cover season three, episode 22. It is called Reconcilable Differences. It first aired March 31st, 1987. Tonight is March 28th, so we're very close to the date.
Oh, interesting.
The title is a reference, a play on the movie Irreconcilable Differences, which is, if you don't remember, Drew Barrymore as a child divorces her parents.
Yeah, I remember that episode.
Now, okay.
I mean, that movie.
So here's another indication as to why this episode may seem a little out of place. So normally there's one writer. Sometimes there's like a story by and then a teleplay. So for this one, the story was by Mindy Glaser, and then the teleplay was by Ellen Gillis, Howard Myers, Alan Mandel, and Mindy Glaser.
Wow.
So that means that the outline or the main story had to be rewritten. So my other thought was this supposed to set up who was going to take over Mona's place at the office? If Mona now had her own show and was no longer on Who's the Boss for
Right, which is what I think.
Yeah, that seems like...
I mean, I'm just
like,
going with that.
I mean, it seems like it could make sense. The actress that's playing Fiona, like, you know, she gets a lot of screen time. Like, they're really, like, setting her up here.
But what's interesting is she's not... I mean, nothing against her at all, but she's not, like... likeable out of the gate. There's nothing super quirky about her.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think. I don't know.
We'll talk about her a little bit more as we get in.
Well, I'll set up. I'm just setting up what I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. So then my thought was, okay, well, then maybe they had to rewrite it because they realized that Mona wasn't going to be a spinoff.
Right.
So then she had to leave at the end. But... I really don't know. And I was looking at the order for the episodes being filmed. So mm-hmm. Walk on the Mild Side, which was our last episode, was recorded. Then they recorded, I'm sorry, Older Than Springtime, two episodes ago. They filmed that.
Okay.
Then they filmed the season finale, a moving episode.
Right.
Then they shot Walk on the Mild Side, then this episode, and then the pilot, which makes sense because The pilot is mostly a different cast, so save it for the end and release everyone else. But, so then, I don't know that they would necessarily know. And then there's also going to be a gap. So there's this episode, which aired on 3/31. Then there will be no new episodes of Who's the Boss until Mona airs on 5/12, and then the season finale on 5/19.
Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah. So then I wondered,
A lot of time. Wow.
I didn't realize that. A month and a half. Yeah. So then I wondered, did they air Mona separate from Who's the Boss? And then they realized it wasn't going to work, so then they finished up the rest of the season. But I don't think so. I think Mona just aired within Who's the Boss.
And is Mona listed on Internet Movie Database as a separate? Not at all.
No, I did look for that.
So even if there were other episodes of Mona we don't know about?
I don't believe there were any other episodes of Mona.
They went with the one and said that was it.
Well, okay, and then someone else told me, we're talking about this a lot before we even get into Mona. I know. Someone else told me that they had read an article with Katherine Hellman where she said the death of James Coco also played a factor in Mona not getting picked up.
Oh,
because their hope was to bring in Nick Milano as kind of Tony's annoyance and kind of take over the Mona spot in the family.
What's interesting about that is it would have, the tables would have turned, Mona is annoying to Angela, but Tony has no issue with her.
Right.
And then the other way around, where Angela would not have had an issue with him.
Right. Tony.
But she was always friendly to him, even though he's an idiot.
Right. Tony wants Mona to be his in-law, and he loves her. Right. He can't get rid of Nick as an in-law. And then Angela would have to deal with another Tony family member. That's interesting.
His death, probably changed a few things. That really is interesting.
Yeah. That was an I couldn't find, these are articles. Is there websites that have every, remember when you'd go to the library and you could look at pretty much any magazine on microfiche, right? Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
They need to put that now on the internet so you can just go through any magazine. But I guess it would be super hard to search that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of this stuff just isn't online unless people have personal collections.
Maybe you could find it. Everything's on the internet.
True. Okay. But
speaking of microfiche, let's start the episode.
You're such a dork.
I am.
Okay, so when this episode opens, Tony is at the dentist. And I love, he's looking in a fish tank. And there's a tooth in the fish tank, and it says Marvin Fishbein, DDS. And I figured that had to be somebody who worked on the show or something, but I couldn't find any connection.
Just a made-up name.
Yeah, just a made-up name. So he's nervous. He's looking at the fish tank, and he says, you're calm. You don't have any teeth.
Which is a lie.
Yeah.
All lies. Because I looked it up.
Kevin was so upset.
I was so No. Fish have
adamant.
Teeth.
Yes.
And then I got a website here. I don't know if it's legitimate or not, but
fishhasteeth.com?
No. It says all fish have teeth. Specific types of swimmers like goldfish hide their pearly whites near the back of their throats.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Similar to sharks' teeth.
They have teeth.
Goldfish lose and replace teeth throughout their lifetime.
Aww.
But how fast?
Goldfish tooth.
But how fast do goldfish lose their teeth? They live a week and a half.
They're supposed to live longer. It's just the ones we used to get at the fair only lived a week and a half. Oh,
yeah. Okay. I thought they just didn't live that long.
So,
fish have teeth.
But it's funny because Tony Maselli would probably think that fish don't have teeth.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to have to go with.
Yeah. And also, this way he can say that line.
You have teeth. I'm like, that's it. I got to look that up. Because I think all fish have teeth.
Yeah. And you are right.
Yeah.
So the receptionist comes out and lets Tony know that the dentist is running a little behind. She's very sorry for the wait. And he's like, don't worry about it at all. I'm fine waiting. In fact, a woman walks into the dentist's waiting room, he says, listen, you can take this lady first. You don't even have to take me next. And the woman knows the receptionist. She says, hi, Joan. The receptionist knows her. She says, hi, Mrs. Finch. So this is Fiona Finch. She comes in, sits down. Tony's still super nervous. He's rearranging all the magazines on the coffee table. And Fiona's kind of annoyed by that. She rearranges them again.
I know.
Then Tony sits down and he's feverishly leafing through a magazine. And Fiona says to him, you're either extremely nervous or an Evelyn Wood graduate.
And then you looked that up, right?
Yes, I did. Okay. I looked that up and she was a woman, a teacher, who created and marketed a system said to increase a reader's speed over the average reading rate of two. So I guess the average reading rate is 250 to 300 words a minute. By 3 to 10 times more.
No, come on.
While preserving and even improving comprehension.
What?
I need this course. Because
it doesn't exist.
No, I'm sure it does. I mean, we can read up more on it later, but yeah, that sounds awesome. Okay. Now, so Tony is like, oh no, he's trying to play it off. And he's like, well, you know, everyone gets a little scared of the dentist, right? And she lets him know that Dr. Fishbein is wonderful and he has a very light touch. And he uses the most modern equipment. So right then, a very tall workman comes out of the dentist office holding some kind of pliers, walks up to Tony and then pretends.
It looks like they're bolt cutters.
What was happening back there?
I don't know,
there?
But they legitimately look like bowl cutters.
And he pretends he's going to put them in Tony's mouth and says, open wide. And then he walks out the door laughing.
Right.
So that is not the dentist. That was just building machines.
Well, obviously.
Right. So she's telling him, you really must calm down, mister. And he's like, Miss Ellie. And she says, nice to meet you. He says, nice to meet you. So they sit down and start talking. He's like, you know, I'm not normally this big of a chicken, but I also normally don't go to the dentist. But he lost a filling, and he has it. He pulls it out of his pocket and shows it to her.
Why does he have it?
I don't know. I guess maybe he figured they could put it back in. And he said he was going to try to do it himself, which again is so Tony.
Yeah.
So Fiona says, my husband always said, if you don't take care of your teeth won't take care of you.
Good advice, I guess.
I guess so. I mean, that's pretty solid advice,
right? I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to fall out and you're not going to be able to eat. And then there's just also like other diseases that can be tracked to
your teeth,
not being very clean. So
that's true.
Yeah. And so Tony's like, okay, well, he sounds like a fun guy. And she says, yes, you know, unfortunately, he's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Tony apologizes and she's like, oh, no, it's totally fine. You know, at first it was difficult. But life goes on, and, you know, through it all, I've managed to keep my dental hygiene. And she says she's always trying to look up on the bright side. She's not one for self-pity. Right. Even though her husband's gone and her children are grown and her days are empty, she always tries to look on the bright side.
Yeah, and the thing is, you actually pointed this out, is the fact that Tony does not bring up the fact that he's a widower.
Yes, right? Like, I think
widower.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't he? Oh, well, yeah. I was married once too, and I lost my wife.
Like, not to one up her or anything.
No, but just kind of, like, I have something in common with you.
I understand that.
But then you think, well, maybe he just doesn't want to talk to her. But then next thing you know, he's resting his face on her shoulder, hiding from them. Yeah. So I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't want it to go too dark.
That's true. Yeah,
it's a sitcom. But you would think that someone would also bring up the fact that they had also lost a spouse. Okay, so now let's talk about this actress real quick. Her name is.
You had it handy, didn't you?
I do. Yes. Lois DeBanzi.
Yeah. That's right. Because when you said it earlier, I thought. That it sounded like somebody from Tony's old neighborhood.
Yeah, it does.
Lois DeBanzi. You know about Lois DeBanzi, don't you?
So the one thing that I recognize her most is that she played Eleanor Roosevelt in Annie, the 1984 version of Annie, or was it even 82? What year was that?
I don't know.
1982 version of Annie.
It's the original Annie, right? I mean...
It's the original motion picture.
Motion picture, Annie. Yeah. Yes, as I should say.
Then, you know, character actress throughout much of her life. She is alive. She is 90 years old. Okay, here's what blows me away. This woman is 57 years old in this episode. 57 does not look like it does now.
No, not
so
at
I had
all.
To go look up. I had to look it up.
Yeah, this was interesting.
Sandra Bullock is 56 years old today. So 56, 57 looks much different on television and movies today than it did then. And somebody else brought this up with the movie Cocoon. I can't remember. Was it Wilford Brimley?
Wilford Brimley.
We already had this conversation. But
Wilford
somebody,
Brimley looks like...
He was the same age as Tom Cruise is now, and
right.
He looks
And he looks
way
like
older.
He was the same age as he just passed away. No, I mean, he's always looked old.
Older,
to,
yeah.
Right,
so,
us.
Like, I would say that this woman, to me, looks like she's in her late 60s here. I mean, Judith Light looks younger than this woman, and she's 72.
I know.
But again, it was sort of like the hair is cut short. There was like a certain age
it's
where
a
you
look
cut your
that,
hair short.
It's a look that they gave her, like she right. was an old, it was an old look.
Right.
But even still, it's hard to.
So I don't know if she's supposed to be playing a much older character or if she's also supposed to be playing. So she's really the same age as Mona, but Mona obviously looks much younger and dresses much younger.
Right.
All right, so.
Moving on.
Yeah, so she just says, you know, I'm always trying to look up on the bright side and stuff. And Tony's like, well, you still have your teeth. And so just then, the receptionist comes out and she's ready for Tony. Oh, and Tony tells Fiona, you know, thank you for this conversation because I actually do feel much better. Until the receptionist comes to get him and then he says, hide me. And he puts his face on her shoulder and tries to bury his head.
Right. He's just not crazy about the dentist.
Yeah. So now we go to Mona and Angela in the kitchen, and they are working at the table. And Angela is asking Mona, what is this? And Mona looks over and she says, that's accounts receivable. And then she makes a joke. Didn't they teach you anything in Harvard Business School?
Mm.
So we know Angela went to Harvard Business School.
Oh, there you go.
And she says, no, I want to know why we didn't bill Perkins Pet Supply. But Mona says, well, his wife just left him, and he's having a really hard time. Or I think she says his wife took him for a flea bath. So she felt sorry for him, and she said that they would bill him next month. But Angela's like, Mother, you can't do this. You can't just tell people that they don't have to pay because we are running a business here, and I have expenses. And Mona's like, oh, yeah, speaking of, here are mine. And then she gives her expense receipt.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was very Mona.
Of course. So Tony comes in from the dentist, and they ask him how it went, and he's like, oh, it's fine. They gave me Novocaine and gas, but I could still hear myself screaming. Now, he's annoyed that they're working at the kitchen, and he says, another weekend of work, I can't live like this. So
in my kitchen.
Right, in my kitchen. And he makes a reference to Saturday night, and Mona says, well, neither can I because I'm going out. And Angela's like, where are you going? We have a lot of work to do. And Mona says, you can't expect me to work on Saturday night. So it's Saturday?
I guess so. I guess Tony goes to the Saturday dentist.
I mean, I guess there are some dentists that are open on the weekends.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when else does he have time? He's always working.
Yes, but I mean, it's not like he has a job where he can't say, I have a dentist appointment for a couple of hours. Right? While the kids are at school?
I don't know.
But come on, Angela.
He always seems to be working.
Yeah, that's true. He is. Okay. So Tony's like, you know, what the real problem is here is that you guys have too much work and you need to hire someone else. Like the agency's really picking up and you need to bring someone else into the office. And Mona's like, yes, I think that's a great idea. Because I'm so behind on my filing because there's so much work. And then she shows Tony her hand and says, just look at my nails.
Filing.
Yeah, so it's all about
I see nail. What she did there.
Right. So Tony lets them know that he met a woman. Her name's Fiona. She's great. She used to also be a receptionist, so she has experience. You know, she's a great lady. He's playing her up. And Angela's like, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't. Just get some person off the street.
Yeah, right.
Tony's like, okay, fine. I mean, if you don't want to talk to her, don't talk to her. I don't care. And then Angela's like, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt just to meet her. And she says, have her come to the office 10:30 on Monday. Tony says, I told her 11.
Yeah.
So he already set it up. Right. So what was his plan? Just have her show up and then.
Or maybe tell her, never mind.
Right. Yeah.
She's not going to go for it. Yeah.
And it's a good thing that he walked into this mess of them working at the kitchen table. Because he had a perfect in here to try to
otherwise.
Get to. Right. If everyone had just been hanging out and reading a book, it would have been a much harder sell. So now we cut to Tony bringing Fiona into the Bauer agency, and no one is in there. So Mona's off somewhere, and Fiona's like, are you sure that this is open? And he's like, oh, yeah, just Mona takes a lot of breaks. Last year, she missed October.
That's funny. I love that Tony had to walk her in, and I also love that the gumball machine's still there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's always there, but.
That is great.
I know. Still there.
And it seems like not only did Tony walk her in, he went and got her, and then they took the train together. Because she says that it was so, even if I don't get this job, this was so nice to come down here, and it was exciting to take the commuter train.
Mm.
So I guess she doesn't normally do that. And he said, I could tell that you're not usually on the train, because most people don't applaud when we pull into the station. But yes, there's the gumball. The gumball machine still there. And then I noticed too, which I think we're going to see in a later scene, if you look above Mona's desk here, it's the same calendar that used to be at Wallace McQuaid on the wall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did point that out.
Yeah, it's like a framed calendar where you can write in the days, but it's up there so high that no one can write anything in.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe it's just an art piece to show that she's so busy. So, you know, Fiona's just saying, you know, I'm just a little overstimulated. I'm just excited to be here. And Tony's like, don't worry, you know, just play it straight with Mona and suck up to Angela, is what he tells her. So the phone rings right then. And he's like, you want to answer the phone? And she's like, I don't know. Should I? And he's like, go for it. So she goes around Mona's desk and she answers the phone. She takes a message. And the message is from Jay Perkins. So she writes down reservations for noon, Piermont Hotel, the Jungle Room. Mm-hmm. So, and she when she hangs up, she's like, I'm guessing this is for lunch. So Mona comes in just then. Who knows where Mona was? Bathroom, getting a bagel. I don't know.
Hiding.
And Tony lets her know. Tony does a Tarzan call, and that's supposed to represent the Jungle Room, I guess. And then that lets her know that Jay Perkins called.
Mm.
So now let's remember Jay Perkins, Perkins Pet Supply.
Right. That's right.
And he says, well, Fiona took the message for you. So he introduces Mona to Fiona, and she's like, here's your message, and looks like your lunch date's on. And then Mona's like, aw, rats. And she really says, rats.
Rats.
I'm going to have to cancel because I have so much filing that I can't possibly go to lunch.
Oh,
you think
rats.
That's ever stopped Mona before?
No.
Like,
never.
She's really going to cancel this date? Or is she just doing this to get Fiona to step in and say she'll do the filing?
And, like, do her work. Yeah. That's what I think.
So Tony's like, well, maybe Fiona can give you a hand. So Fiona takes the files and starts filing them in the cabinet.
And she couldn't be happier.
No. She's very excited to get started. And Mona says, this is just what this office needs. And Tony's like, yeah, someone who wants to work. So, of course, right then, Angela walks in. She sees a woman standing at the filing cabinet filing files.
Right.
And asks, who is the strange woman standing at the filing cabinet right now filing files? And they say, that's Fiona. And you're going to love her. And, you know, we're so excited. And Angela's like, you can't just have someone walk in and put them to work. Like, I have to interview her. I have to check her references. Like, it's screening an employee is a very complex situation. So she walks over to Fiona. She pulls her away from the filing cabinet and she introduces herself. Hi, it's nice to meet you. I'm Angela Bauer. And Fiona's like, oh, it's so nice to meet you too. And I really hope you don't mind me saying this, but you look so young to own your own agency. And that's all Angela needs to hear. Fiona is hired.
That's right.
Yeah, she's like, when can you start?
Yeah.
Now we get music, a little music interlude.
I know, which is happening more and more.
Yeah. So let us know.
Episodes lately.
Some time has passed, and we see True. Mona and Fiona in the Bauer Agency together. Now, I love that they've just found some desk and shoved it into the middle. Right into the middle of the office. Which
apparently
office.
Has power right there.
Yeah, because she's sharpening a pencil. Yeah. So Mona's finishing up some papers that she was typing. And then she brings them over to Fiona and she's like, would you mind stuffing these in envelopes and mailing them out, please? So she's gathering up her stuff. Fiona's like, it's absolutely my pleasure. Okay. Like, she's so excited to do this. And she's like, oh, well, then I'll double your pleasure. Yeah, and she gives her more stuff to do.
Yeah.
Fiona puts the papers back into the typewriter and starts typing away. So Angela comes out and now sees that Fiona is typing.
Right.
And Mona is sitting there with a makeup mirror.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fancy makeup mirror.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that.
Folds out with lights and everything.
I feel like my mom might have had that one.
I feel like Amy would love that.
I know.
Although she steals mine, but.
Yeah.
So Angela's like, Mother, I told you to type up these letters. And Fiona's like, oh no, she did. I just noticed that she left some participles dangling.
Yeah, dangling participles.
Dangling participles. I honestly did not remember what a dangling participle was. So we had to look it up.
Yeah.
An example is walking through the kitchen, the smoke alarm was going off. So this sentence literally means that the smoke alarm was taking a stroll.
Right.
So the idea is that you have to say, like, walking through the kitchen, Henry noticed the smoke alarm was going off or something.
I noticed the smoke alarm was going off while I was walking through the kitchen. I don't know.
That might be, but you'd completely like flipped it around.
But that still corrects it.
I think so. Yeah. So it's basically just an adjective that's unintentionally modifying the wrong noun in a sentence. Probably should know that. It's been a long time since we've been in school.
I know, that's the thing. I mean, it's like these days when since the kids are working,
I know,
doing school at home. I mean, the kids are doing this math. I'm like, cool, let me help you with this math you're never going to use again.
I know.
It's so frustrating. I struggle with it. I have to look stuff up.
No, I just get my calculator
stupid.
Out.
Idiot.
Yeah, or I ask Alexa. I don't want to say
know,
her name
out. I know because it's just like, we don't, they're doing
you
all
forget
this
stuff.
Math. And I know, but because you don't
use it. Because you don't use it. Because we're not an engineer, obviously.
I use algebra every day.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Sorry.
Okay. So then Angela's just impressed that Fiona is such a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And she's fawning all over her. And then she turns around and Mona's looking in a mirror, fluffing
her hair.
Yeah,
putting on makeup. Like, whatever.
And Angela's like, others might take notice. And Mona says, others may not care.
Yeah.
So now we cut to another scene of the two of them.
That's
in
just
the
obnoxious, being an obnoxious employee.
Yeah, and that's why.
I know it's their mother, but you can't be that obnoxious. Others may not care.
I know,
Others could care less.
I do really have issues with Mona in this episode because it's like, I know that Angela
really
recognizes that Mona has certain qualities that are helpful to the business.
Right.
But overall, she's a pretty bad receptionist, secretary, assistant, and has been the entire time.
Right.
So it's not like Angela's way out of line for being upset about this.
Totally just mailing it in.
Yeah. So now Mona's on the phone, and it seems as though she might actually be covering for Angela here, because she says to whoever is on the phone, no, the presentation isn't ready yet, but look, that's going to give you more time to go buy your new car. Hmm. So she's talking to someone on the phone and saying, like, you know, don't pick out the convertible because your toupee will blow off. So what we're seeing here is that Mona has a very good relationship with the clients, is I think where we're supposed to feel that she is the most valuable for this job. Angela comes out and asks, did you get the Speedo burger file? Now, all I can think of is a man wearing a Speedo holding a hamburger.
I know.
Speedo burger. And then I looked up because I was like, well, maybe Speedo wasn't around yet. And it totally was. So that's a terrible name for a burger place.
I know it is.
Because it's just going to make you think of men in bikinis holding burgers. which I guess maybe is a selling point for some, but I get a little grossed out. I just realized that maybe that was the whole selling point of that.
I guess
was it
so.
Men in Speedos serving yeah. burgers?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think they'd been serving hot dogs instead. I don't know. I just, my marketing department needed some.
Some work. Okay. So Mona's like, I've been looking for it all day. Well, Fiona walks over to the filing cabinet and pulls it out immediately and hands it to Angela. Mm-hmm. And then she asks Angela, would you like some coffee? And Angela says, that would be lovely. So she's more annoyed with Mona and loving Fiona. Mona asks her, where was the Speedo burger file? And she's like, oh, well, I put it under S for Speedo. Where were you looking? And Mona says, under G for greasy spoon.
Mm.
So Fiona's feeling a little bad that she's made Mona look bad, but she's like, oh, well, I alphabetized all the files and I hope it didn't really, you know, upset right. you. But like Fiona's genuine here. Like she's not trying to push Mona out of this job at all. She's just doing the best job that she possibly can and enjoying herself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's all they could ask.
What?
Nothing. I'm just saying that's all that Angela could ask.
Right. Yes. Yes. So now it's later that night or it's a weekend night. Oh, yes, it is. It's a weekend night. And Angela and Fiona are working late.
Feverishly working in the living room.
Right. And Angela's dictating a letter and she dangles her participle, which Fiona realizes. She says, what is the line? Assessing the market research, the demographics suggest... And Mona and Fiona's like,
Yeah, success in market research, demographics suggest. So it's as if the demographics were assessing the market, I guess.
Yeah.
Which you can't. That's dangling participle. Yeah, now. We know that.
She would have to say,
Anytime I ever type an email up at work,
I'm going to worry about this now.
If there's a dangling participle.
I've probably been leaving participles all over the place.
Yeah.
And dangling, not anymore.
Dangling
Thank
left
you,
and right.
Fiona. So Angela's like, oh, Fiona, you're such a gem. What would I do without you? Now, Mona walks into the living room and she's all dressed to go out. And she's like, oh, well, I didn't know you guys were working, you know, late tonight. So it is a Saturday, they say.
Because she says you have Saturday plans or whatever.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I can help stay and help. Really? Mona's offering to stay and help. So now she's really starting to feel jealous. And Angela says, oh, no, it's the last night of the Bolshoi.
The Bolshoi.
Bolshoi? Probably. That was the one I was worried about mispronouncing.
I think it's Bolshoi.
Had to look that up. It's ballet company.
Okay.
So
probably in New York City, I'm guessing.
It's a traveling one, I think.
Okay.
So because she says, like, they'll be back in 5 or 6 years.
Right.
So it must be like when, you know... A play comes to the Pantages and then they don't come back for like 5 or so years.
Yeah.
Then she's like, no, you know, you go and have a good time. Like Fiona and I work so well together. She finishes my sentences and then Fiona does finish her sentence. So it's just obnoxious and Mona's getting upset.
Right.
I also noticed that Angela is wearing the outfit from that iconic Angela photo where she's on the telephone in Angela Gets Fired.
Oh.
Part one, which is also the photograph that I used to recreate when I did AV's photo of her dressed like Angela Bauer. Yeah, it's the same. She has a different necklace on. And the color, I don't know, the color on our TV looks different because the jumper looks a little darker, but I looked it up and it's the same one. So Tony walks in holding 4 boxes of pizza. And some sort of side on the top there. And
well, that's for, what's her face? Oh my gosh.
Fiona. Oh, because she got a salad.
Yeah,
oh, of course Fiona got a salad.
Looks like it.
Little Fiona. And Angela's like, wow, that is a lot of pizza. And Tony's like, well, it was a special. If you buy 2 large pizzas, you get a Frisbee for 19 cents.
Mm.
So both of the kids got a Frisbee. And Angela says, wouldn't it have just been cheaper to buy a Frisbee? Which I guess so.
I guess, but you wouldn't get all the pizza.
What was a Frisbee? $1.99? Yeah. But it was like 20 cents extra for the Frisbee. So he did it for the kids. Jonathan puts his pizza on his Frisbee like a plate.
I know. He didn't use it.
Yeah.
Multiple uses for the frisbee.
And then Samantha goes upstairs and Tony's like, don't you want any pizza? And she says, no, I just wanted the frisbee. And Angela's like, really? I didn't know that you played frisbee. And she's like, oh no, it's great. You take it to the beach, you throw it up in the air, and a boy brings it back. And I didn't realize that there were so... I didn't realize how close Fairfield actually was to Connecticut beaches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty close. So Tony's like, uh-uh, and he takes the frisbee from her and says,
I know, that's it.
She can have it back when she's in college. I mean, calm down, Tony. It's a frisbee.
Right.
So Mona's like, wait a minute, where's the pepperoni pizza? I mean... Meanwhile, Mona's completely dressed up to go out on a date.
Right.
So
like she was never going to be there to enjoy the pizza right. in the first place.
And that's what Tony tells her. Like, I thought you were going out, so I didn't get you pizza. He's like, oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Tony says, I thought you were going to the Bolshevik.
Yeah, the Bolshevik completely gets it wrong.
So then Fiona corrects him, and then Mona's like, I need to see you in the kitchen. So she drags Tony into the kitchen, and this is probably my favorite line of the entire episode. Mona says, that woman is getting on my nerves. And Tony says, hey, me too sometimes, but what are we going to do? She owns the house.
I know. It's great.
It's like, oh, poor Angela.
I know.
But
completely dogging Angela.
But Mona's like, no, not Angela. I mean, Fiona. And she calls her the secretarial SWAT team. So Tony says, you know, I'm not getting in the middle of this. Like, if you have a problem with Fiona, you need to take it up with Angela. But meanwhile, Tony is who brought Fiona there. But whatever. It's not his problem anymore.
Right, exactly.
Oh, he got this founder's fee and that was it. So he encourages Mona to go back out in the living room and talk to Angela about it. And then he sits down with his own pizza. So in the living room, Angela's just sitting in there laughing at something, holding a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
And Mona's like, what are you laughing at? And she says, just something funny that Fiona said. And then Mona asks, well, where is our little Benny Hill?
Right.
No one younger than us would get that reference these days.
No, they wouldn't.
No.
Do we want to explain who Benny Hill is, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, sure, I didn't look him up, but I know he had some annoying-ass show that would come on after Three's Company, and I would immediately turn it off. So that is my recollection of Benny Hill.
Oh, me and my brother used to watch it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It seemed like a guy thing more,
yeah,
I
Benny
guess.
Hill was really wacky, but it actually was extremely sexist.
Oh, yes. And I do remember that. Like, it had to have been extremely sexist.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But you know, it was what it was.
I just remember not being able to turn the TV off fast enough. That and MASH, I couldn't stand those.
MASH, as soon as you heard the music.
Yep.
Dee, 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 dee,
yep, done.
Dee, dee. Yeah, click. There you go. Saw the little letter smash on the screen. The helicopter footage.
So Mona says to Angela, I want to ask you a favor. And Angela says, what? And then Mona says, lose the limey. Yeah. I had
limey.
Never heard that before, and it is American slang for a British person.
Is it racist? I don't
It's derogatory.
Derogatory,
I mean,
not racist. I shouldn't say racist.
It's
derogatory,
not nice.
Racist. Yeah.
And I have never heard anyone use it, so I don't even know. So
limey. I don't know. It just felt like it needed to be said with an accent.
And but no, it's American slang. So a British person is not going to say it.
Oh, well.
It would sound just like it sounded out of my mouth.
Okay. Hey, limey.
So Angela's like, why?
I'll ask, we have a friend who,
oh,
Tim.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Asked Tim.
Who's from the UK. I'll ask him if it's
ask him how bad it is. Maybe we shouldn't even be joking about it right now.
I know. Well, it's too late. This thing will, yeah. By the time I ask him,
this will be up.
This episode will already be out.
So as Fiona is coming out of the loo, so now we have more confirmation that there is a loo under the stairs here in this part of the house.
A loo.
Yeah.
All right.
She overhears Mona saying, I cannot work with this woman. You have to get rid of her. And Angela's like, you are being petty and childish. Like, just stop it. Fiona is a valuable employee. Now, here's another sitcom moment where no one can see the person who's standing right next to them
in
the living room.
Angela was sitting where she's sitting. She couldn't, but there's no way Mona could not see her standing there.
Right.
No way.
So she's like, you know, saying how much Fiona does for the office. And Mona's like, well, how about, what about everything that I do? And Angela's like, sometimes I ask myself, like, exactly what do you do?
Exactly what do you do?
So she says, you're just going to have to learn to live with her because she's staying. And then Mona's like, nope, you're going to have to learn to live with either her or me because it's, you're not going to get both of us. So as Fiona overhears this, she interrupts them. So now they know that she's there and she starts jotting something down on a piece of paper. She hands it to Angela and then Angela's like, oh, I can't read this. And she says, well, it's Pittman shorthand.
Yeah, come on.
And she goes on to basically say a full paragraph, but what it means, what it says is that she's turning in her resignation because she doesn't want to get in between mother and daughter. So I looked up what Pittman shorthand is. And it kind of looks like wingdings.
Yeah,
like
that. It does.
And it is
what stupid people would say they're wingdings.
Hey.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm right there with you. I don't know. It looks ridiculous. Like, what is that?
Pittman shorthand uses straight strokes and quarter circle strokes in various orientations to represent consonant sounds.
Okay.
Yeah, bizarre. Like, I don't know. I mean, so do you think, I don't know anything about a courtroom stenographer, but I don't think that that's what this is. So I feel like this is even different from that.
I guess
it's fascinating, but it looks like it would be really hard to learn and you wouldn't have any use for it these days. But
true.
Yeah, I don't know how many people would get that reference now. So Fiona leaves and she's done. And Mona doesn't care. But Angela's like, you can't quit. I need you. And Fiona's like, oh, you'll muddle through. Don't worry about it. Now, just now, Tony comes out of the kitchen back into the living room and he's wanting to know where Fiona's going. And she just tells Tony, you know, goodbye. It was nice to meet you and please take care of your teeth.
Yeah.
So she leaves, shuts the door, and Tony's like, what happened? And Angela says, I just lost the best secretary I've ever had, thanks to Mother.
Mm.
And Mona says, no, you haven't, but now you are because I quit. And then she leaves.
Right.
Okay.
But we
hang
need
on.
To address
yes,
Tony's
we have to
shirt.
Back up.
Right? Is that where you're going?
Yes.
Okay.
What is Tony's shirt?
I don't know. I don't understand it. It looks like a, what do we determine? Maybe they were sea lions or?
Yeah, first I thought they were angry sea lions. But then I thought maybe they're bears. But there's like,
you think?
They're blue. Some of them are blue. Some of them are red. Some of them are white. All of them are hideous. This shirt is horrible.
I know. What are they doing with him? It's like they're experimenting.
I don't know. Yeah, because he's really, his style is kind of changing from 70s to 80s now. Right. Like, I feel like Tony's look was always a little more 70s with the tight jeans and kind
no
of the tight
pockets,
shirts.
At least.
No, but we're going to get big pockets
we'll get
in
big
a couple
pockets,
minutes
yeah.
here.
Oh.
But right. yeah, so whatever direction they're going in with the shirts here, it's not good.
Yeah, strange. That's a weird one.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's a different day. And Tony is sitting in front of, so I guess he's slid the television over to,
I guess, so he could be on the floor to do his yoga.
Yeah, it must have been, like, been on a little cart with wheels.
Right.
And he's doing yoga. First of all, I love this ancient yoga mat that he's on.
I know,
on.
It's an old school yoga mat.
Yes. And secondly, this is pretty impressive. But again, I feel like it's Tony Danza wanting to show off that he can do this with his body.
That's true.
And the guy on the yoga video is, or program, I don't even know. Like, did he just tune in to yoga or was it a DVD? VHS.
Who knows?
Maybe VHS.
With Tony, who knows?
And it's like, isn't this relaxing? And he has his knees up around his head. And he's like, yeah, it's real relaxing. And you can tell he's having a hard time breathing. So Mona comes in and slams the door shut and it pulls him out of his little position. He flops down on the floor, on the ground. And he's like, oh, what happened? And Mona's like, yeah, I wish Angela, I should have never quit. And then Tony's like, well, call Angela up. I'm sure she'll hire you back. And she's like, no, I don't want my job back. I wanted her to fire me so that I could collect unemployment.
Hmm.
I didn't realize that that's true.
Yeah, you have to be. Well,
I know you can't collect unemployment if you quit, but I didn't realize that if you are fired,
case by case, okay. I think.
Because if you're laid off, then you can.
If you're laid off, it's no doubt. But if you're fired, I mean, you could have done something to really...
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So it's up to the employer at that point, from what I understand.
Okay. So she wishes that Angela would have fired her so she could collect unemployment. So he's like, you know you miss being at the office, and you know you miss talking to your daughter every day, and... Mona's like, I don't, and I'm a lady, so I'm not going to use the language that I want to say. And she leaves the room. Now, the yoga guy on the VHS is like, okay, so are you still in that position? And so Tony runs back over, throws himself back down on the ground, and now it gets even more ridiculous.
Now it's crazy.
He is, his feet, I can't even tell what's up from down anymore.
I know.
You know what's interesting, though, is Tony Danza's youngest daughter... is a yoga instructor, Pilates instructor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
So he is, he's all twisted up. And again, the front door opens and slams shut. He pulls out of this position and it's Angela this time. Hmm. She's all upset because her day at the office was terrible because the temp was horrible. And then he went to lunch and he never came back. And Tony tries to make a joke. That's why they call him Temp.
Yeah. Real good, Tony.
So Angela tried to call Fiona back, but she already has another job. And she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And Tony's like, well, go in there and apologize to your mother. And Angela says, it'll be a cold day in heck.
In heck.
Oh, so she's so feisty.
I know. Yeah. Cold day in heck.
And Tony's like, watch with the four-letter words there, Angela. So he's like, you know, Mona can't collect unemployment, and you need an assistant. So there's only one obvious answer here. Well, we cut to Tony answering phones in the office. So now he's her assistant, and the desk is piled with filing folders. He's on the phone. He's trying to, find a file for the person on the phone. He doesn't understand what they're asking for. He's all flustered. And he's finally like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just going to have somebody call you back. But we're going to get Mona on top of this, and then she'll call you back. I feel like Tony wouldn't be this bad at this job,
though. Yeah, true.
Because he's so meticulous and organized that, they need it for the joke here. But I do feel like it's kind of an insult to Tony because he probably would have rocked this job.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He would have had a full organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the files would have been organized. Yeah, for sure.
So Angela comes in.
Probably just doesn't care.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe he still has to worry about having dinner on the table.
Right, that's true. So, he's like, screw this. I gotta get home and make dinner.
Yeah. So Angela comes in and she's... says to Tony, like, oh, hey, how's it going? Do you have that letter that needs to be mailed? It has to be there by tomorrow. And Tony's like, oh, yeah, I got it. And then he asks, what letter? So he doesn't have it. Right. And she says, it's the letter, and I put it on your desk. And she looks at his desk, and his desk is completely covered with filing
folders. How can you tell?
Right. So whatever it is buried underneath all that. So now we cut to Mona in the kitchen, back at home, filing her nails.
I know.
So she's
once
she's,
again.
Yeah, she's able to get her filing done now. So that's good. And the kids come in from school and they want to know if there's a snack ready. And Mona's like, yeah, just get some leftover pizza out of the fridge. She tells that to Jonathan. He's right. Like, well, but Tony wants me to eat healthy stuff when I come home from school. But she was too busy to get any snacks ready because she was at the mall and she shows Samantha her new shoes.
Right.
Those shoes look like Minnie Mouse would own them. They're like red and white polka dot.
It's a good observation.
And then blue and white polka dot, and then orange and white polka dot. These shoes and Tony's shirt need to take a hike. Like, no good. And I'm not crazy about Samantha's outfit here either. This is very, I'm sure when I was a kid, I loved whatever Samantha's wearing here, but now looking at it, it's a lot of print altogether. Okay. So obviously we're seeing that Mona's not doing a very good job of trying to help out for Tony at home. And Tony's having a hard time doing her job.
True.
And Samantha's just jealous that Mona gets to sit home all day because that seems like a really fun thing to do. So now back at the office, I love that. And why is Angela sitting in Fiona's old desk?
I don't know.
Typing. Oh, she's trying to get the Anderson letter done. I don't know. So somebody walks into the office, and this is Jay Perkins from Perkins Pet Supply. And he wants to know why he got a bill for his payment. So he said, how long have I been coming to this agency? And Angela's like, about 8 months. And then Tony's like, that's 56 in dog months. I'm such a dork.
Yeah, 56 in dog months.
And then
he... Which is right.
Is it? Did you do that math? I don't know.
No, I mean, yeah, it sounds like it's right.
So... Jay Perkins is like, well, you know, I came to this agency for the personal touch, and Mona and I had an agreement that you weren't going to bill me for 2 months. And now somebody sent me, some bird brain sent me this bill. And Tony's like, hey, don't look at me because I just started. And so we're guessing it was Fiona. But Angela's like, I'm really sorry. And, you know, just ignore the bill. So, okay. But... she's apologizing. So this guy is mad because he came to this agency because right. He knew he wouldn't have to pay his bill on time.
Right. Like, that's why he went with them.
Right. And so now, and Angela's now like, oh, I'm so sorry. You don't have to pay your bill on time.
Right.
Like, I understand that Mona supposedly has a good relationship with these clients, but this probably isn't the best way to do business.
No, overall. Not at all. Because you'll never see that money.
Right. So... Jay Perkins says, you know, I came here for the personal touch, and now the woman who was personally touching me is gone. Oh, God. And Angela even says at one point, like, I don't want to get involved in my mother's affairs. And then he kind of brushes it off like there's nothing going on between
right,
them.
Right, right.
But there is, because that's who she had the lunch date with.
Right.
Yeah. So Tony's like, okay, listen, we are negotiating to bring Mona back right now, so don't worry about it. And Jay says, okay, well then, you know, you let me know when she's back and then I'll be back. And he leaves. So Tony calls Mona and tells her.
I know. Mona answers the phone in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Which, why is she? Well, I guess she's still there. Right?
Yeah, because she's just hanging out. She's still in the
kitchen. Even though she's got her own place.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, but her own place probably doesn't have all the food in the fridge. And
oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Do I hear a cricket?
Yeah, I do. I was just trying to ignore it.
I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah, it'll go away.
Yeah, we haven't...
Children, we hear noises and we just...
I know.
Sometimes you just got to pretend it doesn't exist.
Yeah. Okay, so Mona's basically saying she's not coming back if Angela begged her. And Tony's like, okay, listen, $100 extra a month. First, Mona says she wants her to double her salary.
Right.
Then Tony says $100 a month. I didn't look up what $100 was back then, but I think based on our previous, it was probably like $250 now.
A month?
Yeah. Huh. That's what she wants in addition.
Oh, okay, right.
An extra.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
And Angela's like, I'll do $50. And then Tony says, okay, she'll do $75.
I know.
I love that. And I love that Tony feels comfortable enough with Angela to just do that and know that he's not going to get in trouble. So then Angela says, you know, how about we negotiate if she would stop taking all of these personal phone calls? So she picks up a stack of messages that are on her desk. And none of them are personal phone calls. And I love this because Mr. Ping is referenced here. And that's a nice callback to the episode Mona's Limo.
Continuity.
And then Mr. Schwartz, who I don't think we've heard of them before. So Angela realizes that those are not personal calls. They were actually calls to clients, except for Fredericks of Hollywood. And then Tony's like, well, you never know. Maybe she was trying to get their business. And then he says, can I have that? And he takes the message from her and puts it in his pocket.
What's he going to do with it?
I know. So was it really Tony's message?
I don't know.
Or was it really Mona's message?
I don't know. It's just funny. Like, and what's he doing? Calling?
Yeah, I think he's just figuring she's got a contact there. He's going to call someone and just start talking to him.
I
see what they're doing.
Order something nice for a date.
So Mona still, so they offer her the $75 extra a month, and Mona still says no. And so Tony's like, you know, or Angela's mad. She's like, I gave her everything she wanted. And Tony's like, maybe not, because you haven't really told her that you understand now how valuable she is to the Bauer Agency. So Tony says, you know, $75, and Angela, you know, she misses you and she realizes how invaluable you are, and she needs you. She really needs you back. And Angela says she agrees on the phone. So Mona hears Angela's voice, and now everybody's happy. So he's excited because Mona's coming back. He says, right. Oh, and then he's like, okay, yeah, I'll give her the message. And Angela says, what message? And he gives her a big hug.
Yeah.
And so Angela's excited. Her mother's coming back. Tony's excited. And he's like, guess what? I quit.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. And then he just walks out the door.
Right.
Like, he just completely, like, Tony. They probably drove there together. So he's going to have to come back, because how is she going to get home otherwise? But no, he just leaves. But again, like, okay, so I don't know. I mean, I want Mona to have that job just because.
Right.
I'm not really sure Angela got the best deal here. I feel like she was steered wrong. So now on the tag, we're back to the dentist office, and Tony is shoving the entire family into the waiting room. So what we learn from this is that no one in this house goes to the dentist.
Right.
Because everyone is terrified. And Angela, they even lost her because she was looking for an escape route. So Tony's like, it'll be fine. You know, he's great. He's very relaxed. And Samantha's like, well, you're relaxed because you're not the one going in the chair today. It's all of us. So when the receptionist window opens, they realize that the person behind the window is Fiona. Hmm. So this is her new job. Now she's there. Yep.
Her new gig.
I also thought it was cute that he said Bauer party of four. So like, he was including Samantha in their little...
Oh, I see.
In their appointment. But I guess maybe they would all be under Angela's insurance anyway. So then Tony's like, all right, which one of you is first? Come on and volunteer. And Fiona's like, actually, Tony, it's going to be you, because the doctor took another look at your x-rays and we realize that there is an issue. So she drags him in there and he's screaming and everyone's pushing him in the doorway. Go in there. I know. The look on his face at the freeze frame is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It was a perfect way to freeze it. And that is the episode. All right. So I don't remember who did rating first last time, but I'm going to say you can go first.
Okay. I don't know what I've done to
my... What happened?
I don't know. I can't get out of this mode.
Well, at least it's the end of the episode.
Oh, rating? I can do that.
We're still recording.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you stopped.
Should I stop?
No. I don't know. No, okay. Not that you usually stop there, but I had the vibe that you did. I don't know. This was a tough one, only because I was trying to figure out how low I could go. No, I mean, I just, I don't know. I would give it like, I mean, it had its moments, so I'd give it like a 6.5.
Wow. Okay.
Is that high?
Well, I gave it a 6. So you even went a little higher than I did.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still thought there was like some good Tony moments, I guess.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it. The only thing is, it just left me like the ending seemed, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't want to say wanting more, but it just was like an abrupt ending that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he calls Mona back and you know, he arranges it, but in true Tony fashion or style or whatever. I don't know. It just like, it abruptly ended. It was like, what just happened?
I would be really curious to read what the original script was.
Yeah, me too.
Because I would feel too. Like they changed directions.
Yes,
and then I feel like the episode has the feel that they changed directions, and then it just never came back.
Because like that. They suddenly just cut her from the, like, what's her face?
Yeah, and I mean, if that was the
intention... Like, it was all of a sudden, I can't work for you anymore, blah, 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 and then she's gone, and they hire Mona back.
Right.
It just abruptly, everything abruptly happened.
And yeah, then, because the addition of Fiona was that they needed extra help at the office. And
right.
And we ended up right where we started from with no additional help at
right.
the office.
Right. So it made no sense.
Yeah. It was kind of bizarre.
So, yeah, I would say I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay. Yeah. And I went 6.
All right.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
Tony.
Yeah.
Tony's the boss.
All day.
Yeah.
This whole episode.
Yeah, I mean, it brings Fiona home.
Right.
Then, so then when Mona and Angela are having issues about Fiona, he's like, you guys need to work this out yourself.
Yeah.
Then when that doesn't work and Fiona quits and Mona quits, he's kind of trying to help out, get them back together. Then he just ends up being the receptionist.
I know. I mean, the whole time he's running things.
Yeah. And then he fully negotiates Mona coming back. So, yep. Yeah.
Yep.
It's him.
Yep. I agree.
Okay.
I agree 100%.
You can reach us at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram or on Twitter. We're Who's the Boss Pod 1. On Facebook, we have a page called the Who's the Boss Podcast page, or go to anchor.fm/WTB podcast. And there you can leave us a voice message. No one wants to send us an AOOA.
No.
No.
So the episodes have aired where we beg people to do it?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I think. That's okay. Right. I get it. Listen, I didn't want to name this podcast that because I didn't want to have to say AOOA. No. But now I have less respect for myself these days, so I do whatever.
I know, right?
I've given up. So, yeah, just send us a voicemail about something you want to talk about. I don't know.
I mean, you know, who's the boss related?
Well, please. Yeah, that would be helpful.
I don't want
yeah.
to know about
if stuff anyone has going any information life. As to what was going on in this episode as far as the writers, let us know. Or any information about the Mona pilot, because I'm still very curious about that.
Yeah.
All right. So next episode, we're going to...
Mona.
We're going to... Now, listen, I love Mona. I do love Mona.
Well, yes,
I love
we
the
all
character
do.
Of Mona.
Talk about
and
the
I love her on Who's the
Mona.
Boss. Yeah. The show Mona, I have zero interest in
yeah,
whatsoever.
Yeah, we're not excited about that.
But we're just going to power through it because then we get to the season finale.
That's right.
All right. So...
And then season 4.
Yay. Oh, and the season opener of season 4 is a really
really
good one
oh
too.
Boy 7.5, 8
that's it might even go 8.5
whoa
for me.
All right, I'm excited yeah. now because I don't remember
yeah
I feel like I trailed off at this point
yeah probably
maybe yeah. I don't know,
you might remember a guest star that's on it when you see her.
Okay. I mean I'm sure after this point I saw episodes when I was younger,
right?
But I felt like I didn't see it. I didn't watch it every week, but I caught it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
think or you may have caught a rerun point. Over the years. Or
right,
something.
Right, right. Exactly.
All right. Well, take care, everyone.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.